Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia Jr. Thanking you for joining us. And with me, as always, is the very generous Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hi.
Hi, Fernando.
So Jennifer has just come back from a trip to London, and I'm gonna show it in the video, but I just got these biscuits with the boss from the Ted Lasso store in London. Thank you, Jennifer. I can't wait to dive into those together as we have our morning strategy session.
I have to say, I thought of you a lot. I know nothing about Ted Lasso, but my daughter knows a lot about it. And I remember you talking about the show and the leadership skills that it teaches and everything else. So now I'm anxious to take a look at it, especially since we had a pint in the pub.
Oh, there you go. I love it.
I thought of you there, you know, with the biscuits with the boss, which I have no idea what it means, but my daughter swore that you would get it.
She was absolutely right.
And then, of course, I did have a Guinness. So,
Was the Guinness cold?
It was cold. The first time I went, I don't remember them being cold. I remember beer kind of being served at you know, room temperature, but that was back in the 80s. So I think they've gotten refrigeration.
You think? Sure. One of the first industrialized nations in the history of the world. They finally got refrigeration after the 80s. I love it. I love it. Well, Jennifer, today we're gonna speak about something that is, I think, an important component of being a steward of your commercial properties, which is that if you own a property, now it's really statewide, but it has always been in Miami-Dade County, that you would need to do a what is called a building inspection and recertification at the 40-year anniversary of the building's age. And then you would have to do it every 10 years thereafter. And due to the unfortunate events of the Surfside collapse of the Champlain Towers and the many people that, you know, may they rest their souls, perished in that unfortunate accident. There has been a ramp up of attention that has been given about whether the inspections should be statewide, which they have made, and whether, you know, starting those inspections at the 40-year mark is the right way to do it. And over the last few years, we've seen a change in those guidelines. You have to now do your inspection at the 30-year anniversary of the building being built. And even within those rules, there are, if you have a building that is within 3 miles of the coast, then that clock actually starts at the 25-year mark rather than the 30-year mark. And then you have to do it, you know, every 10 years. And the reason why we are bringing it up is because one of the things that I've been noticing in our marketplace is that there are a lot of owners that are going through the recertification process right now. And some of them are, you know, started a little bit late. And I think what they have found is they have found that the cities don't have the lax or the flexibility to allow them more time to make it happen. They want these buildings to be inspected. They want recertification to be done, and they want it to be done promptly. And some of those issues are sneaking into, putting deals together and closing out deals. Have you seen something similar to that in the marketplace?
So I haven't had an issue with 40-year certifications recently on anything that I've done, because I've been doing mostly leases. And the one that I had, it was exempt because it was 2,500 square feet. So it was under the yeah. the minimum.
There are exemptions based on the number of stories in the building if it's less than 3,500 square feet. So there are exceptions to the rule.
Duplexes don't count.
Things of that nature. It's really interesting.
But you've had experience with two recently. One was a residential building, right?
Right.
A multifamily, and the other one was a warehouse. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you ran into?
No, listen, two-story multifamily they were finishing the 40. It required a new roof, and it required some electrical work, and it required some structural work. And truthfully, the ownership had to delay listing the property until all of that work was done. And some of that was further delayed just because of the work that needed to be completed, and sometimes figuring out exactly how the inspector wanted things to be fixed. Sometimes, you know, you hire an engineer basically to go out there, do an inspection of the property. The engineer will give you a list of things that you need to do. And then once the work has been completed, then the engineer will come back, evaluate it, make sure that it's up to par, and then sign off on it. And then you have to go to the city. And the city has every right to send their own inspector. They now have the onus to review it and to see if they are satisfied with the work. And they usually will see pictures of the property prior to the work being done, and then the work that was done after the property being done. So the only delay there was really a delay of time in putting the property on the marketplace and making sure that was done. On the other hand, I had a deal in which it was quite a lot of work with the municipality.
That was for the warehouse.
That was for the warehouse, and it required, again, a new roof. You know, the good thing about roofs is that even though they are costly and expensive, you know, one of the things that happens is that usually you could get a permit very quickly, and it's usually not work that takes a significant amount of time to make happen. That is certainly not the case with the electrical work. And then, you know, that really significantly delayed us. And, you know, the fact that there was a tenant there who, you know, we were waiting for the tenant to move out before being able to do the electrical work. Some of that work could not be started. And then you're at the mercy of the city when it comes to the permitting process, which is, you know, which takes a long time.
Yeah, you hear me doing my deep sigh there, because we've had so many issues with permitting. And I was thinking about that because, for example, in your report, which you're going to get into the issues between what the engineer found and what the city wanted, I feel like the whole process would be so much simpler if the cities and counties would get more technological with the reports, right? So I know you've had issues before where the engineer gave the report and somebody stuck it in a file and nobody realized they had already received the report and that it was in a file. So I just feel my sigh comes from that frustration that we've had with permitting departments and some of the requests that could be so much easier and so much faster for the tenants and the sellers and the landlords if the process were more automated and less, what's the word I'm looking for? Not intuitive, but left up to the individual inspector's personal opinion.
So I will tell you that the automated part is a little tricky, because to a degree, you do want some things to be more automated. You want to be able to utilize the technology of today to its best ability, so that as our friend George Guerra always says, you're working at the speed of now. The speed of business is the speed of now, and I completely understand that. There are, however, other aspects that happen, which is that I always like to put myself in the shoes of the people that are reviewing this. I'm sure they're probably reviewing, you know, hundreds of reports. And sometimes they have to go, you know, they're trying to go very quickly. And when they see something that is going to be the one thing that is going to not allow them to approve it, they'll just make a comment and put it in there and, you know, and kind of set it and forget it and move on to the next report. So part of it is an issue of, you know, are those departments taxed with so much work that they don't mm-hmm. they don't give it the time of day. What happens also is that sometimes they'll look at one area of the report, but it has been addressed in another area of the report, and they don't, you know, they just stop reading the report where they found, you know, what they consider to be something that is going to prevent them from approving it, right? And then they don't move forward. So to your point about automation, this is where sometimes they also have to have the accessibility of you being able to go to the city and sit with them and just basically say, you've returned this to me twice for the same comment. We have addressed it, right? And this is something that anybody who has ever built anything in any municipality has gone through for sure, which is that sometimes you address the issue and they come back with the same notes, right? Because they haven't looked at the details. So we gotta find a balance between those two things. The other thing that happens is that in this case, we had to do, you know, electrical work, but the engineer wasn't very clear as to, okay, what would clear the work. So then we had to hire an actual electrical engineer to come in and take a look and say, okay, in order for all of this to be in compliance, this is the work that we had to do. And in that case, it also required changing out the full electrical panel on one side of the warehouse, which was done. And then there were some other things that needed to be cleared out. But again, to your point about dealing with the municipalities, so now you have a permit that you pulled, you have a rough inspection of the work, then you have a final inspection of the work, so the work has been completed. So that's one part of it, right? Every other thing that required a permit, like the roof, went through the same process. You had a permit pulled, rough work inspection, and a final inspection that was done by an employee of the city and the municipality, right? Then you have the engineer who created the report come back into the building, take pictures, and evaluate that, in fact, the work was done correctly and that he was comfortable to sign off and say, I am recommending that the 40-year be done. We go through all of that, and then the report is submitted, and then there are little technical issues that are further delaying the approval of the report, which is where the frustration comes along. You know, he was, you know, there were things like the pictures are not very clear. The person didn't want to look at the digital file. They only wanted to look at the physical file. Well, yeah, when you're printing out pictures on a report, you know, they don't always come out great, but you have a digital file. You can enlarge, you could do all these things. This is where you're saying right. that sometimes we're not modern enough. We get a denial and the denial comes with notes. Oh, well, the notes were not uploaded. So now we don't even know what are the notes. So now we have to go back to the city the following day to figure this out, right? Which is incredibly frustrating. Then we get there and then we find out, no, this is not there. The permit number was not written in the correct place. It was written all over the report, but it wasn't written in every area where it was supposed to be. So, you know, you get into these technicalities where you're like, you know, I don't understand this. You, an employer of your city went to inspect the property twice for the electrical, twice for the roof. You have a third party who comes in to do an evaluation, take pictures. Their license is on the line.
Who, and by now, the way, is an engineer, a licensed engineer or yeah, a licensed architect that had to go through way more schooling than...
Well, right, and was physically at the location. Exactly. Like, they have to... You know, they have to take those pictures, they have to do all those things, and they have to make sure that everything is correct. And so, you know, you go through all of that stuff, and then you have, you know, just further delays. And sometimes those delays eat into your negotiations, because sometimes there are deadlines that need to be met. In this case, the buyer also was getting a loan, and there was a limit as to which, you know, the bank could follow through on its right. approval without now saying, look, it's been too long of a delay. Now we have to reevaluate everything.
Right.
You know, I don't think I have to tell anybody who's listening, you know, things happening in the economy, people don't go unaffected when there are changes,
right.
economic changes, the tariffs, everything. You know, there are people respond to those things. These are stimulus and people respond. And how many times have you been in a deal where you're like, everything is ready, we're ready to close, and then one party wants to delay it for not the best of reasons. It right. could be that, hey, I'm traveling or I'm doing this and they don't want to be inconvenienced. We'll just wait until Monday.
To me, this whole example just brings up the inefficiencies of the entire system, right? And I think we're at a point in history yeah. with AI and everything that there's no excuse for that. And I want to do a That's huge shout out to the Honorable Dariel Fernandez. He's the new Miami-Dade tax collector who was elected in November. And I've just got to tell you, and the reason I think of him is because I got the renewal for my auto registration. It was the easiest thing I've ever done in the 35 years that I've lived in really? Miami-Dade registering my car. He's gone in, modernized the system before for some reason. I don't know if it's because it's a company car or what. They never found my car, even with all the information they provide me on the renewal, so I'd have to go to a tag agency, so right?
Yeah, I had the same
this
issue.
This time, I literally took his little note. There's a QR code. I scanned the QR code. My thing came up with all of the payments due. How to pay, I pushed a button, it paid from my iPhone, and I was done.
Yeah.
The whole process from reading the letter to paying, 3 minutes. Amen. We need that type of efficiency in the building permitting department.
And what you're bringing up is an important component of our modern life. Every time that we're using an app or we're using the internet, we have been trained on certain things working a certain way, right? Like these apps are training the behavior of how you interact with it, right? That's why they invest so much on the user interface, right? And to your point, that has not been the mindset that has permeated municipalities to say, well, look, this is what people are expecting. This is how they're expecting to transact. This is how they're expecting to deal with this. I have the same problem when I have to renew my, I can't believe that I still have to renew my registration for the house alarm by paper. Crazy. Like it's just nuts that I have to send a letter, you know, somebody now has to open that up. There are so many more efficient ways of doing it. But to your point, you know, you get used to using it a certain way and I think municipalities have to adapt to it.
And especially in something like a certification, right? These recertifications are not just for the health of the building. They're health and safety issues for the occupants of that building, right?
Yeah.
They're also part of the economic engine that drives our local economy. So any inefficiency affects that productivity, affects those occupants. Whereas every tiny little, you know, the compound effect, any tiny little change in efficiency adds that money, that productivity back into the economic cycle. So I think that's where we need to be heading with these, especially now, because with the new condo laws, this has kind of jammed up the system even more in terms of inspections and certifications and the number of engineers and architects that are available to do the certifications. Yeah. So, and even to your point of the government staff responsible for reading them, they need those efficiencies too. I can't imagine how stressful it is to go through all of these different reports, knowing that you need to be the one that makes sure that everything is done correctly, that it is safe. I know there's a lot of inefficiency in the system, and I don't think it would be that difficult to do if they were able to do it.
I'll tell you where I think, and I know we probably will have another episode that just focuses on permitting process, but I'll tell you this. I think it starts with a mindset. Is where is the leadership? What is the mindset that you are training those that are serving the public in regards to what is your priority when you're dealing with the public and when you're dealing with permitting and all that other stuff, you know? Because, you know, I think that that's where you're going to get the most response or the biggest result is first starting from a perspective that if I'm an owner and I'm coming to you and I'm doing things the right way and I'm pulling permits and I'm trying to get this done, help me out.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying to forego the regulations. I'm trying to
Absolutely
comply.
Not.
I have applied.
I'm doing everything
I can.
But if the report doesn't have the right number in this place, like, give me an opportunity to fix it right away. You know, upload the notes. Let me know the night before so that I don't have to waste another day to go
look
to you for you to tell
photos.
Me.
Don't make you me know, go do, out and
right.
print photos
exactly.
that are
Let me upload you, the digital yeah. photos. Let me, you know, find a way to actually make it convenient and for people to be in compliance. And that's where, you know, I feel that a lot of in our municipalities, when we go for the permitting, there is an air of suspicion. There's almost like an air that you're trying to get away with something.
Well, it is Miami.
It's a terror. I get it.
We are like the fraud capital.
I get it, but sometimes you create the thing that you're trying to avoid.
Right.
You're trying to avoid people from pulling those tricks, but then you don't make it accessible for people to be in compliance. And when you're trying to be in compliance, you know, you don't get the feeling that I'm your partner in this. I want what you want, which is you want to be in compliance and you want to get your work done. I want you to be in compliance and I want you to get your work
right.
done. Let's work together to make it happen.
Right.
A lot of times you go to the municipalities and you ask them, I'm trying to get this done. And you get that response that like, no, that's not how you do it. You gotta, you know, like, it's almost like you're supposed to know how to navigate this. No, I'm not. I'm the public here. I'm coming to you. I'm trying to be in compliance. Just make it easy to do
right.
it, you know?
So, and I think, you know, going back to, we've had this conversation before, which is why we're pushing so hard with trying to get permitting in general
yeah.
on a large scale, especially in South Florida, revamped that. So think, when was this supposed to close?
Well, it took another 6 months.
Okay, so just think of the economic impact, not only of all those people 6 months, but depending on where that sales falls, you're delaying additional income tax, which I'm sure is significant from when they bought it and their basis versus when they sold it and what the new tax is going to be. Like, so just that economic impact alone should be enough to incentivize
They could have. You're absolutely right, and also the timing of it, right? They could have had it right before the new tax would have been
that
implemented. Now they got to wait an entire year, you know. And the other side is, as we know, there are economic effects of whenever a property trades, right? You know, you got people on the sideline. I know that the buyer had people on the sideline waiting to do renovations on the building. He had already gotten quotes. He had them all set up. Well, everybody kind of got delayed to do that work. So now the carpenter that was going to come in, the electrician that was going to come in, the plumber that was going to come in to do the work and do the new build out that the new owner wanted to do on the warehouse, they're also getting delayed, right? Because
right.
they, you know, and now, and by the way, now they have to requote that job.
Right.
Because the cost of doing that job 6 months before had changed dramatically.
And the quotes don't last.
So
then
the quotes don't last that long. So, you know, it just has a ripple effect. And so I think it's important, number one, if you're a commercial real estate owner, make sure that you're eyeing when your 40 years is completed. Start early, right? You don't want to have these delays. You also don't want to have to deal with penalties. The penalties that are accrued, sometimes they're hundreds of dollars a day. Right, depending on the municipality. And you have to now take into account that, okay, so you do the work, now you have this other bill, you know, which might be thousands of dollars. Now you have to go into a mitigation meeting to see if you could get those fees mitigated, right? Because otherwise you're on the hook for them. So, you know, start early, get the work going, don't delay. Because, you know, some things are just going to take a little longer. And I think overall, just whenever you're going through this, and there are a lot of buildings that are going through this, you know, you're just going to have some natural delays, you know, when it comes to that.
Yeah. So allocate for that in your purchase and sales agreement.
This is part of the joy of owning commercial real estate.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. You know, you just have to. This is the thing that we always talk about when you own commercial real estate. Or when you're in the commercial real estate sector, you know, you have to interact with so many aspects of our and the infrastructure of our cities, right? That, it's infinitely interesting. It could be frustrating, but, you know, definitely having a good partner to help you navigate is important. It's the reason why you just get a bigger understanding of how businesses interact with public sector, interacts with the private sector, how they affect each other, you know, and dealing with regulations and all those things.
And for those of you who aren't from Florida, who are buying property in Miami-Dade County, I mean, that's just something that you need to be aware of and do your math on the age of the building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to definitely account for that. All right, everybody, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate you pulling up a chair. We also want to reiterate that we have a YouTube channel. We're revamping it. We're really, really excited. All of our interviews are going to be there in video, so that you can hear from the people that we have interviewed in the past and the people that we will continue to add in our interview list. So again, thank you for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.